And if you will, turn with me to Song of Songs. This is class number, oh, that's right. We only did one last week, didn't we? Class number 8. And by the way, welcome everybody who is on Skype. Are they on? Or I see Scott working hard to plug something up, so maybe they're not with us yet. All right. This is our 8th class. So far, we've covered 1 2/3 verses. I would like to, I'd like to do a summary. I'm serious. I think we need it. I have real questions, not just in myself, but I think in the Lord. If we are comprehending not what I'm saying, because that's not important, but what this book is trying to communicate, even in such a short amount of time, such, you know, a verse and a half or whatever. And, you know, as you can tell, it is just not my way to say, well, let's rush through stuff, because I'd rather we get it than rush through. And I figure if we get the first part of every book I ever share on, the Spirit of God will use the seeds and it'll help you to see the foundation so that you can move on through the rest of it. But I want us just each one individually, if you don't mind, to, when you come in, just begin to ask the Lord to help you to see this as the way it was written and the spirit in which it was written. And I realize my frailties and lack in being able to communicate that, but also realize the tremendousness of the Holy Spirit when He begins to open our eyes to Jesus. So I jotted down my summary in 8 different points, or wait a minute, 9. First of all, let's read what we have covered thus far. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth for thy love. That's what we've covered so far. You say, I don't think we need to summarize. I think we do. All right, so first of all, there clearly, according to verse 1, there is a song. It's not just an understanding, but there is a song. To the Lord, it is in His heart a song. It is, I'll just say it like this, it is something that He hums. It's something that He sings for the joy of what is in His heart concerning these things. And that song is found here in the song and called the Song of Songs. It is found here, and it is, if we can bring our hearts and get low enough at His feet that we will hear Him. We will hear Him sing it. And He won't sing it to us. He'll just sing it. It's our place to come into this. He already has. Part of the problem is that we don't know this song, and we don't know that this song is above every other song, is because, quite frankly, we're impressed with other songs. The Song of Redemption, this on and on and on. Like I said, I didn't take the time. This time that I'm teaching this book to go through all the songs like I did long years ago. But I did that long years ago because I read that first verse and I went, oh my God, how I never knew this. I've led worship and sing and play guitar and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I didn't know until that time that there was a song that to him was above every other song. And so I went through the Bible and I looked at all the songs and I saw how we love certain songs. And not everybody loves the same song. There are a lot of songs in the Bible. And we love those songs, and there are songs, and we sing them, and we get tickled with joy as we sing those things. But he doesn't respond exactly the same way. And we don't respond the way that he does either. And the main reason that we're more impressed with these other songs is because we really can't hear the song yet. I mean, I know that. I'm just telling you, we can't hear the song. If you hear this song, you will. You'll know it. And you will be drawn in a way that no human can describe with human words. But we can't hear it. And if there is a song of songs, and let me stress something right here. It is the song of songs which is Solomon's, representing Jesus. It is not your song. It is his song. Okay. So, you know, I was blessed to marry Deb, and us have similar backgrounds and stuff. And even now, my truck is in the shop. Actually, both of our vehicles are in the shop, but I think we just got one back. Not any better. Maybe worse. So we got this loaner car. And so, you know, it's got all kind of bells and whistles, and I wanted to punch some buttons, you know. And so, it has a touch screen, and you get to pick what genre of songs you want. And so the first right at the top was classic rock, and I said, yeah. And I punch it, and you know, it doesn't matter what comes on. If it's out of the 60s, we like it, you know. And it's not like, I'm sure this is true, but it's never been an issue. It's never been where she goes, oh, I don't like that song, or I don't like that kind of song, or whatever. I want my kind of song. And that would be a bummer. I mean, every summer. I mean, it would be. But that's not the case. And but it is the case for Jesus and his church that haven't come to the realization that they are his bride. We're too busy listening to what we like. And I'm telling you, there is no way. I mean, you know, we went over Revelation 14:3, and it says, they that follow the Lamb, and it says that that they sing a song that no man can learn. You're not going to learn it. It's not like, oh, it's this many bars and goes like this, you know. You're not going to learn it like that. You can't learn this. You cannot learn the song of songs that is Solomon's, that is Jesus, that way, and you won't. So it's like, okay, we'll listen to this song, you know, because, you know, students are required to, and we're, you know, and it's, you know, we want to show respect for the old guy or something. I don't know what. Anyway. But Let me say that a little differently this time. It's not our song yet. Okay. It's not our song yet. But to make this our song, to make it our song, we're going to have to see and follow His heart. And this is they that follow the Lamb, whithersoever He goeth, and they sign a new song. A song which no man can learn. Because you're going to have to give up man. You know what I mean when I say that. No man can learn. Then you're going to have to give up man. I mean, not you're going to have to give up man. I mean, you're going to have to give up that human preferenced being that thinks that his purpose is to live on earth with God blessing and giving and leading and everything else, when in fact, and I'm waiting, you know, I'm down here waiting for the rapture for Jesus to show up. Jesus has showed up and he rose again and he carried you with him. And you are seated in union, in oneness with Christ in heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God says, and that's true. And if that's fairy tales to us, then we need to get with God, because that's just the Bible. And this reality of this song, the reality of this thing is that we're no longer man. We're no longer, you know, we say, okay, here's what we say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, so that whosoever believeth wouldn't perish. God loves sinners. Okay, anybody ever heard that before? Okay, well, he loved you enough to save you. Anybody heard that before? Okay, praise God. So we're like, we're just stuck our head out of the womb with that. I mean, there's so much more and growth that needs to be taking place. All right. But then he loved us more than that. He loved us enough not to just leave us as saved sinners. You're not a saved sinner anymore. I got news for you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You are a new creature. You're not, even if you act just like what you used to, then shame on you. But that's not what you are. What you are is something altogether new. I'm not talking about what you need to become. I'm talking about what you are now in union with Christ. But you have to grow in that. You have to hear that. And so what are we then? Well, we're in union with Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, wait a minute. What kind of wording is that? Do we really read the Bible? You know what I mean? I mean, let's read it. He loved the church and died for it. Wait a minute. I thought he died for sinners. He did. But he loved the church and died for it to make it his bride. Okay. And that bride is, again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things of that old manhood or mankind has passed away. All things are become new and all things are of God. But if any man be in union with Christ, and when we talk about being in union with Christ, we're not talking about, you know, I just did a wedding down in, right on the border of Mexico. And they brought me the program minutes before it began, and they said, "Okay, you're going to do this part and this part." The first part was you're going to preach. There's a marriage sermon. I've never never preached a marriage sermon before. I've done a wedding service, but I've never preached a wedding service. Needless to say, it was shocking, but here's the good news. I'm instant in season and out of season. You want me to preach? I can do it. All right. But the next part was that you're going to do the lasso service. The lasso service. Yeah. And it's in the order of the service. Pastor Nussbaum will do the lasso service. Well, yeah, but before I saw the rope, I went to Jerry, who was getting married, and I said, I'm not sure. I think we might have a little problem here. I'm from Texas, and my version of a lasso service is at least two different things, and I want to know which one this falls under. The first one is you put that over their neck, and you... And I understand this is a wedding. And I said, but the other option is just as viable. If you take off out the door, I do this and I bring you back. I said, so which one is it? And he said, well, it's neither. He said, this is a Mexican tradition that we do. And I said, okay, well, you're going to have to explain it to me because I've never seen it. He said, okay, well, they're going to have a rope, and you'll say, okay, it's time for the lasso service, and they're going to bring it, and the way they explained it to me, I was going to be doing this, and I asked Wyman to help me because I can't even visualize it, and I am a visual person, so it's like, okay, I'm trying to, it was weird. Anyway, when the time came, two other people jumped up with the lasso, and they put it on them, okay? And so they're sitting in a chair right in front of me, two chairs, and they take the lasso, and they put it around them both, and they just lay it over them, and then you say, a few words and some, and it's sort of, it really is like the last part, or at least in this case, it was meant to be the last part of the service. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, they are not going to be able to walk around that lasso around them their whole life. So something better is going to have to be true about two being made one. Better than a lasso. However, I'm thankful that the Lord gave a nod to Texas when he did that. But anyway, sorry, Lord, I'm just joking. He is no respecter of states. But, yeah, if he was, you can't blame him. Anyway, sorry. This thing of being in union with Christ, I fear that most of Christianity doesn't really realize that it's like coming from being a rank sinner to being a saved sinner to being a saint who is in the church, so they're part of the church, into union based on love, not forgiveness of sins. And God is love, so how are you going to explain that to anybody? You know what I'm saying? Because they're going, well, but you're one with love. And you're his body. You're love's body. Bride. All right. So clearly, he's kind of wanting this thing to work between him and us first before it works between you and other people. That's why we call that the first commandment and the second commandment. And all the law, every bit of it, all the commandments are fulfilled in that right there. Say, where'd you get that from? Jesus said it in the Gospels. And Paul says it too. I think it's in Galatians. But there is this incredible song, this incredible reality, this song of his heart, this thing that reaches for him the pinnacle of what it's all about, and we're still down here playing with jacks or, you know, whatever, something, playing in the dirt. And so we don't hear the song. So he walks past us, you know, and sings it. You know, he's humming it, and we don't even hear it. It's like, we don't hear it. We don't hear it. Because it's not the tune that's going to get your attention. It's how his heart is attuned to that desire, that song, that love relationship, not, you know, Christian and God relation. And we have the Christian God. I said it before and got some weird looks, but I don't think God's Christian. He was before there was a Christian. Come on. Just, you know, people, you know. Jesus said the truth will make you free. But it seems like every time I tell him the truth makes him mad. I don't know. All right, so in our summary now, we have summarized the first verse. We're moving now. Then the next verse 2, starts out with, "Let him." And she wouldn't tell us who he is, because what she had, what she's entering into, is so precious that she can't tell you. Because when she says, "let him," we automatically picture the him that we know, the degree to whatever, wherever we're at, you know, whatever our experience has been, let him. Oh, yeah, you know. But she is starting to see the him of him. And so she is not going to expose him to everyone, because they're not all there. It's holy ground. It's sacred, but it's not religious sacred. It is heart sacred. It's not religious sacred. Oh, you know. I mean, I remember when I was in Bible school, of course, my hair was long and I wore weird clothes. And they had a swing set out in the area. It was kind of a similar situation to this, a lot bigger, but it had children's things. And so a bunch of us Bible school students went over to the swing set, you know, and I sat in the swing and I went back, and as I did, I took my Bible and I threw it down on the ground, and I saw a couple of students go, yeah. And I said, "What? You threw the Bible. You threw the word of God." That's what this is. "You threw the word of God on the ground." And I said, first of all, that's not the word of God. That's the scripture, and that's ink on white paper. "And thy word have I hid in my heart." So would you, you know, hand me your Bibles, and I'll put them out of the way for you too. I know, it's not pretty. I never said it was pretty, but it's the truth. But it makes people mad, so is it? There is this sanctimonious sacredness that people have that's not the Lord, and it doesn't glorify the Lord. I mean, possibly within the next couple of months, I may preach again, and if I do, I may preach on something I'd mentioned that I wanted to before, and in there is, "Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." Oh, I wonder what that's going to talk about. Would that, it's going to talk about that ground now is radioactive. It glows. No. Well, holy ground. Take off your shoes. It's holy ground. Oh, my God. That spot right there. And God had to deal with me personally about that, too. I mean, I didn't have it all together, but the Bible school I went to, I want to tell you something. I loved that Bible school. It was hard. There was a lot of stuff going on. It seemed like they were working against their very purpose in our lives, but it was still where I began to see Jesus, and I loved it. And I could, you know, I even went back some years later, and I think Deb and I were there, and we walked the grounds, and we remembered and all this kind of stuff, and it was really precious to us. And then they came in and they tore the whole thing down, and where there was a sanctuary, they put an automobile garage, like a car dealership's main garage right there. And I'm going, that's where we would hear the word of God. Well, again, God's going, you know, come on. And I just looked around and a few of you were kind of going, what's going to happen to this place? Well, same. Yeah, that'd be good. Yes. Yeah, there's a frat house over there, and anyway, so she says, I mean, this is her first words. This is really the first words of the book where someone's speaking. Let him. And we all immediately, it's not, but it's almost like a whole bunch of different Jesuses. Now, it's not. It's really different experiences, different understandings. It's the same Jesus, but you know that some of the ways you used to know Jesus compared to the way that you do now is like, you might even feel a little bit like I was not really knowing Jesus. I was knowing the religious Jesus or something. You know what I'm saying. And I believe all of you were born again and your experiences were real and you were genuinely saved. But I know that was my case. I mean, it was like, you know, I kept saying like I got a new Bible because I was seeing Jesus. I kept saying like I feel like I'm born again. You know, those were the phraseologies that some of us used back then because it was like, man, knowing this Jesus is just incredible. So if I was standing there with her, you know, long time ago or now, let him, what would I be picturing? But she's on the right track because she's been written into the book and literally into the song. Praise God. Praise God. And that should move our hearts. It should soften us and make us want to be able to be drawn in to this. And then we talked about Psalm 2. And Psalm 2. Kiss the rejected son that the Father loves and exalts. That's Psalm 2, folks. I mean, I don't, you know, but I'm telling you the one that the Father exalts is this selfless, self-giving son that put the Father first and put others first. They put the Father first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength, others first, and your neighbor as yourself, you know what I'm saying? He did it. He did it completely, and he did it without reserve to incredible loss to himself and was still okay, you know what I mean, in his spirit. He wasn't destroyed. He wasn't angry. He wasn't, why does everybody else get this? Why does, you know, this is not fair. First of all, Jesus wouldn't even look at that like, oh, this is a situation that I should think is not fair. This is God. This is the way he is. And then to love him. This is Psalm 2 still. To love him the way the Father loves him. My God, that to do that is going to require the sending of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take the third person of the Godhead. It's going to take God. It's going to take God. But God knows it's going to take God, so God sends God, if you know what I mean. They're all one. It's just one. But it is that tight. It's that important. It's that confined to how this can get done. It's going to take God on every hand and God on every side and God in every way. And so he says, you know, she says, let him kiss me. And he says back to the world, I've raised up my son, the rejected one, and the nations and the heathens rage against this, not because they don't like Jesus in the sense that we think it, but they think they're better. They're the leaders. They're the top people in the world, and yet Jesus, the rejected one, God goes, clear out of the way. You know, he doesn't say, Caesar, you've done a good job down there. I bet you'll do good up here. Not hardly. So he raises his son, and to the consternation of everybody who thinks they've earned it, the elder son, to everyone who thinks they've earned it, they are the ones who get angry. But God says, and it's interesting, the word in there in Psalm 2, God says to those people, kiss the son. You better find the one that I love, that I have exalted. You better find him in an intimate way, or you're not bride at all. Does that make sense? You know, it didn't say you weren't saved. It's the same as the kingdom. I mean, I didn't say you're not in the kingdom. Didn't say you're not saved, but you're probably not in the kingdom, but you probably are saved. And people don't always understand that. And I don't always feel led to explain it. you have this thing called the Bible. And if you find out for yourself, then you'll have it forever. And not only that, but, you know, like I say, you shouldn't listen to me. You should listen in the sense of, okay, let's hear what this guy has to say, and then let the Holy Spirit divide out whether it's true or whether it's of God or not. Because it's time again for me to say this. I don't know everything. I don't. And I make mistakes sometimes. I have gone back and read some stuff I've written, and I'll be reading along, and it's really, really good. And I mean, I'm amazed sometimes that it can be that good after this long. And then sure enough, boom, I go, oh, I wish I hadn't said it like that. You know, I'm an idiot. You know, but I love Jesus. I'm his idiot. That's what I always say. You know, I'm his idiot. You know, take hearing the word of God through a pastor seriously, but don't take listening to me serious. There's a difference. You divide it out. You figure it out. All right. And then she says, for thy love. For thy love. That's as far as we got. Does anybody see why we need to have a summary here? Yes. Really? Come on. If you do, raise your hand. God bless you. Because I know it's a verse and a half. You go, why are we summarizing this? Because the Holy Spirit told me to, and he wouldn't let me up. And he says, look, don't go any further. We need to settle some things. And so I prayed and prayed and spoke in tongues and whatever else, spoke in lips and everything I could speak in. You know what I mean? Sign language and stuff. In prayer, that there's a flow of the Spirit. It's like the Milky Way, but it's this flow of the Spirit. And we just need to jump in there on the wavelength that he's on. And the wavelength that he is on, folks, and I'm just going to tell you this, the wavelength that he is on right now is not dealing with sin or trying to get a breakthrough or whatever, trying to fix everything. Well, see, I'm way down here by now. You're just moving into the phase, but I have to be in touch with him as he does this stuff. And he's not dealing with sin and problems and things anymore. The move of the Spirit right now is to bring us into something eternal, something new. Well, we know a lot, and we've come through a lot of new beginnings, but it's time again, and it's going to be new. Yes. So let's get in there.
Right.
And the wonder of this flow of the Spirit is once you get in there, just, whoop, you know, kind of like those tubes at the bank, you know.
Right.
Hey, I was there, now I'm here. I wonder if God's up there going, that was a terrible explanation of the move of the Spirit. But I still love him. That's what he would say. He'd kind of mess up my hair a little bit. For thy love. And here's the thing. I said it in class, but it's wonderful if you can only hear it. Here's the thing. She's not wanting, you know, I want you to love me, for thy love is better. Oh, I want your love, you know, like the way that we think that. She's not doing that. In fact, I'm going to tell you something really weird. This book is not fostering that kind of love. It's fostering for thy love, his kind of love. For thy love. But here's the neat thing. It's okay because she's, at this stage, man, she's just bubbling over with that other kind of love. And it's okay to him. Did you know that? It's okay to him. He's not going, well, I just won't have it. No, he's not. He meets us where we're at. He loves us. So she's bubbling over with this other kind of love, but at the same time, she's on to something. She really is. She really is, and it's pleasing his heart. But there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in this book, as we'll see as we reach the end of chapter 8. In the millennium. Anyway. Well, the scripture says we will throughout the eternal ages be learning the riches of Christ. I just wanted to tell y'all, the Lord asked me if I would be one of the teachers during that time because I take so long, and he's going, it's going to take a while here. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, people. I have to be careful. People go, did God really say that? All right. You know, I got to be careful which one I'm drinking here. Look at this. It's like, I feel anointed. Anyway, sorry. You know, it's like, la, la, la. You know, and we need more of the Holy Spirit. It just popped. See, I told you, man. That was confirmation. Not really. All right. No wonder y'all don't get anything from me. All right. This is ridiculous. For thy love, she wants his kind of love. And I'm just telling you, folks, that's where it should all end with all of us. You say, well, where do you get that from? There's a lot of great things. Well, yeah, there's faith, hope, and love. And these three will abide forever. And yet the greatest of these is love. And just read the chapter. Read everything that is before that. Love suffereth long. Love is, you know. And, you know, love suffereth long. Somebody says, why do you talk about suffering so long? Because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering. Long suffering. That means you put up with a lot. And I'm it. All right, so she wants this kind of love because she's observed it in him. This all happened before this book started, okay? She's already there. All right, we talked about that. She's observed it. She's been touched by this kind of love, and she desires it. For thy love, as we shall see shortly, is better. Praise God. Does that sound exciting?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Me too. All right, and then last class we went through Jacob and Rachel. You all remember that? All right, so Jacob shows up and he sees Rachel and his heart is moved and he wants her for his bride. He wants her with him. He, you know, so, you know, the customs back then, he talks to Laban and Laban says, well, you're going to have to serve 7 years for her. Now, if you know the story, at the end of 7 years, he was tricked and he had to serve another 7 years. But it says that when he was serving that 7 years, that it was as a few days. All right. Well, you have to remember is that he served under Laban. What you have to remember is Laban was using him. What you have to remember is Laban was abusing him. What you have to remember is this is where God wants you to serve him. Well, Laban is unjust. Well, I got newsflash for you, so are you. But anyway, I mean, none of us are, you know, we all have our areas, but it's the same thing. But we, you know, I don't like this bad treatment. God, get me out of here. I put you in there. And I want you to stop, and in this case, the roles are reversed. I want you to stop looking at Laban and start looking at me because we're supposed to be in love with him. Amen? But by love, serve one another. And we went through that. We took good time to look at that situation. And it was because of love. And this is 1 Corinthians 13 for, you know, love believeth all things when things are hard to believe. I don't believe this is of God. Love believeth all things. Hopeth all things. But we have to realize that it's because of love that he was cheated. Jacob was cheated. He could have got up and left. Amen? Guess what? You can too. And maybe with good reason. But good reason is not God reason. God reason is you stay because of love. Okay? And good reason says, this isn't right. This isn't fair. I'm telling you, just read the story and think about it. Put yourself in there. See what he went through with Laban and all of the trickery, all the stuff that's going on. But when it came to Rachel, let me tell you, it was just like a few days. 7 years, come on. And he was wronged and he was abused. And then he was cheated and had to serve another 7 years. And I mentioned this in our last class. What do you think Rachel, what do you think she was doing the whole time? 7 years. You think she was, I mean, she clearly liked him. Right? She clearly liked him. So I got a feeling, you know, guys are really, really bad at like looking at a girl trying to do it without her knowing it. Guys are terrible, but girls, they're really good at it. I mean, like they can, like if you're sitting in the car and they're going into a store real quick to get something, you know, to pick up some photos or something, they know how to use the glass as a mirror, you know. And they go, you know. And he, of course, he's sitting there going, look at her, she's beautiful. But he has no clue that, you know, she knows. Well, Rachel was a girl. And she was checking him out. And she was watching him. And she was watching his love. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? That she was watching his love. Like the Shulamite was watching, had been watching, and was coming to the same conclusion. This kind of love is unheard of down here in Haran. I want to be one with you and go where this is common. And then seeing him, you know, seeing Laban come out and change the rules over here. If he did it one time, folks, you know that's what he did. So he'd go change the rules and go do that. And then he'd get in this, and she's watching him, and she's watching that for him, this 7 years is just like, all he knows is he's just serving out of love. And something is affecting her heart. All right. All right. So then that last scripture that we said, and I guess I'm going to take a whole class here. So if there's a title for this one, it's called Summary Number One. I'm so tricky with my titles. The final one was we went to Galatians 5, verse 1, last class. And we read there that it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we saw how that scripture, that a Christian can actually take that scripture and use that for an occasion to their flesh. That their liberty is, well, I'm free. I don't have to serve anybody. Did you hear that? And yet verse 13 says, but by love serve one another. There's the spirit, let's divide now. Let's not just use the terminology, let's discern the spirit that is using that terminology. One may say, okay, well, then I'm going to make people serve me. Or you're making me serve by washing the dishes here or doing this or sweeping this. You're making me serve. You're just making me a slave. Okay. And those of you that have been around here any length of time have heard me say this before. If that's the way you view it, you need to go, because that's not my spirit, and it's not on. And I would like to say it's not anybody else's spirit here, but I don't really see everybody at every given moment. But I'll tell you for sure it's not mine. And if somebody feels like we're just enslaving them or whatever, then I'd get out of here and go be free. I'm free. I'm free from that Randy and that place and, you know, and be happy. That that's not what it's about, but if it is for you, then go be happy. I mean, that's why I look at it. But on the other hand, there is clearly, Galatians 1:13 shows it, and Jacob shows it, that there is a service, a serving that is not a burden. And it's not ugly to him. I don't think it was ugly to Jesus. Jesus said, I've come as one that serves. I didn't come to be ministered unto. Here's what we think. Well, for eternity past, for 800 billion, trillion, quadnillion mega years, he has sat on a throne and had the best treatment and everything. But for this short 33 and a half years, he came to minister and not serve. But when he gets back up there, when he gets on that throne, he's going to glow and he's going to go, yeah, look at these diamonds, man. Y'all should have been good like me, you know. And, you know, all this kind of weirdness that we think he's going to, you know, he's going to turn into, you know, I had a name, I'm not going to say it. And so we see him just, you know, well, that was really good that he humbled himself for 33 and a half years. But folks, I got news for you. He proved who he is by what you see on that throne. He is a slaughtered lamb. Can I get an amen? And God said, that's what I want to rule. Because he's selfless. He's not going to be a tyrant. Well, it's beautiful if you really see it, see him. The hymn of the situation. See the spirit of the situation. But it's so hard because as long as we're men, we're not acting like new creatures. We're not acting like new creations. So we're all, you know, well, I want my rights and I want my way. And they did this and somebody said something about me and it hurt my widow feelings. And he's saying, follow me. Follow me wherever I go. Wherever I go. Well, don't go any bad places. You know? And, you know, Jacob could have said that, and he got led right into the worst situation under Laban, and you don't hear him whining at all there. You know, I mean, I know he used his trickery later, but you don't hear it within that spirit of that time because there was a spirit in which he was serving. By love, serve one another. All right. And for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That's exactly what most people think liberty is. Occasion for my flesh to be free. Well, folks, your flesh is not supposed to be made free. It's supposed to be crucified. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the lusts and the affections. Okay. Well, I don't want to talk about the cross. Well, then live with your flesh. I mean, it's like a whiny extra head on your shoulder. There's always going, I don't want this. I don't like that. Anybody ever heard of I hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord today? It's what I preached this past Sunday. Get the tape. All right, so that's enough. That's the summary. That's the summary for a verse and a half. Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll do something new.